everyone. Well, welcome to Stutter Talk episode 657, the Magic Sauce Edition. My guest today is Dr. Phil Schneider. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Peter. Great to be with you.
Dr. Phil Schneider is the founding partner with Ori Schneider of Schneider Speech Pathology. Dr. Schneider is a master clinician and teacher. He has been practicing and teaching for over 45 years. Phil holds the title of Professor Emeritus of Communication Disorders at Queen's College CUNY, and his first documentary, Transcending Stuttering, The Inside Story, is considered by many, especially me, to be the single best film on stuttering. I am Peter Reitzis. I am in Carrboro, North Carolina. I'm a person who stutters and a speech language pathologist. Phil, tell us about the magic sauce.
So I'm going to make a few comments about my beliefs and thoughts about what stuttering is, and then share the eight ingredients of the magic sauce. So from my perspective, stuttering is a neurologic trait, and it's characterized by involuntary, intermittent interruptions in what's otherwise a normal, automatic, effortless flow of speech. Stuttering is extremely variable with regard to its occurrence and to its manner. And unlike, here's a key issue that I don't think is drawn out enough, unlike other speech problems that we deal with in our trade, stuttering is not simply a speech characteristic. It's a speech communication condition, which is highly sensitive to the communication demands of the situation. The physical act of speaking can exist in the absence of a listener, but communication cannot. The speaker's experience of stuttering seems to center on the threat of being out of control of their body while in the presence of others. And this feeling generates panic, humiliation, and shame. And those kind of negative feelings inhibit one's drive to communicate. So the impact of stuttering is really determined by the extent to which it diminishes our self-esteem and inhibits our freedom of speech. So while the surface goal of speech therapy is to make speaking easier, the magic sauce is designed to foster self-respect, freedom of speech, and the conviction that what you want to say is worthwhile, stutter or not. So having said that, I'm going to share eight ingredients of the Schneider Speech Magic Sauce. The first and most basic ingredient is the conviction and the conscious belief that each and every person, stutter or not, child or adult, has infinite value and deserves to be treated with the utmost dignity and respect. Ingredient two is the belief that people who stutter can function as self-assured, effective communicators, even in the presence of stuttering. Ingredient three is the never-ending belief that each person has potential which is never lost, potential for change and growth. While all people grow and change, the nature and timing of that change is not predictable and not controlled by the speech therapist. Simply making the decision to work on change generates feelings of empowerment and reduces feelings of helplessness. As the therapist, as the professional, we play a role in the process, but we need to retain the humility and remember that we're not responsible for the outcome. When all goes well, it's not our fault. And when things are not going so well, it may also not be our fault. Change is usually filled with surprises. In fact, the nature of change is so powerful that people often emerge with little resemblance to the people they were when they began this journey of change. In nature, when you see a butterfly fluttering in the sky, it's really hard to remember that it used to be a caterpillar crawling on the ground. Similarly, many people who stutter morph into powerful communicators, not simply in spite of their stuttering, often because of it. And in fact, my friend, the founder and host of this podcast right now, Peter, is a wonderful example of this paradox of change. I remember him as a young man, a younger man, when he felt he couldn't communicate because of his stuttering. He never imagined, and I hope you agree with me, that this struggle with stuttering would propel you into a profession of speech-language pathology and lead you to become a leader, a gifted clinician, a lecturer, an author, an international podcast host, a man who speaks eloquently with strength, clarity, and purpose. You've done all this not in spite of your stuttering, but largely because of it. And maybe you could never have even believed that this would ever be so, but it is.
Phil, I just want to say quickly that I agree with you, and I still don't take it all for granted. When I recently spoke publicly at a very high-stress situation, I did reflect upon, in the moment, how special it was to be able to do that. And the listeners should know I credit you a lot for that. I know I did the hard work, but you were the guide. But please, go ahead.
I'm happy to be a partner in your journey, as you are in mine. I'm going to share now ingredient number four. The challenge of stuttering can be quite uncomfortable and quite stressful, but challenge is not intrinsically bad. In fact, challenge often provides the opportunity for self-mastery, enhanced perseverance, for courage, and the development of determination. And these very traits are the ones that help people become very successful in life. So challenge can be a good thing, even though it's not comfortable.
Ingredient number five. I have to jump in just real quick. What you said, I have been searching for weeks, if not months. And you just put it into words. And I'm sorry to bring it back to me, but I've had several very high-stress public speaking situations that I always bring back to stuttering. But you just helped me connect the links there. So it is that determination. That was a great word. But please, go ahead.
You also made a comment a moment ago, which I wanted to give you some feedback on, which is the experience of appreciation, and that people who haven't struggled with something don't necessarily appreciate it as much, and they miss out on a certain joy that there must be moments when you have, and you go like, man, I did it. And someone else may just take it for granted that they had an ability to do something and not be able to take a moment and reflect with joy that they accomplished something. And that feeling of accomplishment is a great human experience.
You are correct. Yes.
Another ingredient in our magic sauce is the gift of listening. And listening means that we seek to understand another person's story by hearing their thoughts and their feelings and their choices. And it's a central part of the therapeutic relationship. So as we seek to understand the other person, we demonstrate to them that we care about them. And as they clarify their story, not only do we gain understanding, but they gain insight, which is the ability to see inside of themselves, and they increase their awareness of their thoughts and feelings, which govern their coping strategies. They also gain awareness of alternative options and a sense of the relative cost and benefit of every choice they make. That insight, that seeing into themselves, and that awareness, which is gained through the dialogue, is the key to the process of change. We simply validate their experience while investing our time and our effort in trying to understand. And that investment we make in them and that validation helps to build their self-esteem. Ingredient number six, the therapeutic relationship between the clinician and the person seeking to grow needs to be collaborative, and the person who stutters needs to be the senior partner. Our role as the professional is to highlight opportunities for the person seeking to change, to make and execute their own choices. We need to encourage them to become their own problem solver, and we need to encourage them to evaluate the cost and benefit of their choices. So what do? We frequently ask them, how does that feel to you? What would you like to do now? How would you like to deal with this in the future? The focus is on free choice, and our attitude has to be, the consumer is always right. Ingredient number seven, beyond simply striving to accept each person just as they are, we need to go beyond that. We need to actively seek out and appreciate their many special qualities. At the very first session, we begin applying the magic sauce by greeting the person who stutters with the warmth associated with meeting a dear friend and with the dignity associated with greeting a world-class leader. We need to draw attention to their positive qualities long before attending to the issue of stuttering. We want to get to know the person, not the stutter. It's common, in fact, for many people who stutter to possess many strong speech communication skills, assets, when they may not be aware of them. We need to appreciate and draw attention to their communication assets, such as their pleasant voice, their varied vocabulary, their clear pronunciation, their engaging eye contact, their smile, their attentive listening, and their passion and enjoyment of connecting with other people through speech. And last, ingredient number 8, we need to think positively and use positive language. We need to focus on the wonderful potential of each human being. We need to use positive language. Since the people we work with are not sick, we don't refer to them as patients. And since our relationships extend far beyond business transactions, we don't refer to them as clients. We simply call them the people we work with. In fact, these people often become our teachers, our heroes, our friends, and our colleagues. So we avoid labels, since each individual is unique and a complex blend of qualities, traits, and experiences. In our documentary, Transcending Stuttering, The Inside Story, Michael Lieben puts stuttering into a whole person perspective beautifully when he says, out of the thousands of characteristics that define who I am, stuttering is only one. When talking about stuttering, I encourage statements which are descriptive while minimizing negative connotations. For example, instead of saying I'm stuttering terribly, I suggest saying that took a moment or that was a bit difficult. Instead of framing the goal of therapy as stopping stuttering, we focus on positive goals, speaking with increased ease, with increased joy, with increased freedom. After all, if the goal is to not stutter, the solution is to not speak. And silence is the most negative potential outcome of stuttering. We talk about our work with people who stutter as striving to reveal the diamond which already exists within them, rather than trying to fix something which is broken. At Schneider Speech, we call ourselves speech therapists because the word therapist refers to a person who helps others feel better and function better. In contrast to the term pathologist, where the focus is on what is not normal. I really hope that sharing these thoughts about our magic sauce stimulates meaningful dialogue for the Stutter Talk community and beyond.
Dr. Schneider, thank you. This is Stutter Talk. I'm Peter Reitzis here with Phil Schneider. We're discussing the magic sauce. Phil, for people who want to see this therapy, this approach in action, do you have some resources that folks can check out?
On our website, schneiderspeech.com, there are some wonderful documentaries. In particular, there are two that's called Going with the Flow. One shows two people in their process of change, and the other is a discussion about the principles underlying that, and that would allow you to see the magic sauce in action. And there's a blog there, too, and I guess we would welcome hearing feedback from people.
Now, I was in speech therapy with you for several years, and as you're going through your list, this is exactly what you do. This is what you did with me. I left that very first session feeling that you deeply respected me, that I was a tremendous speaker and had the potential to be a tremendous speaker, and I had the potential to be confident. And I never felt like that about my voice until I left your office that first time. So what you're saying, it's a magic sauce. It's a very practical sauce, and I'm going to make a suggestion to people listening, and I'll try to put the list on the website at stuttertalk.com. But I think speech language pathologists should have this list on the table with them to remind them, try to do these things, because we might not remember. And when I was first getting into counseling, I made a list of things I wanted to make sure I did during a session. Because I can tell you in my experience, what you just shared was not taught in grad school. So let me ask you a question. You were talking about treating the person who stutters as the senior partner. Wouldn't you agree that that would extend to all the clients we work with?
Oh, of course. And I think one of the places where that's challenging is when we as adults are in a partnership with a child or a teenager. And this is also a challenge in our parenting. But in our work as professionals, we need to learn to really respect the children, and with the belief that they'll grow into adults and they'll make different kinds of choices at different times. And I think sometimes we feel we're afraid that will never happen, so we try to press them to make decisions that feel against their will.
I want to share something with you that takes us just a bit out of stuttering, but I think relates, and I'd love to get your feedback. You know, I work with speech language pathologists that just want the best for our students and their families. But sometimes wanting the best, I'm not sure, makes the family feel empowered all the time, even with the best intentions. And I'm thinking of some situations in which children with issues like severe apraxia of speech, with Down syndrome, with cerebral palsy, they're given communication boards by the therapist, a very well-meaning people. And the therapist is saying, use these pictures to help you talk. And so often the client and their families feel like the therapist is giving up on their voices. And the client and the family doesn't want to use the communication board. They want to use their voices. And it is a tension, because I sometimes feel also that the therapist is giving up on the client's voice. And the therapist will say, but they've baselined. They haven't made any progress in 6 months, in a year, in 2 years. How much longer do we keep doing the same thing? And I do think this relates back to stuttering. I know it's a big question to throw at you, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I believe that people have the right to make choices. And at this chapter in my life, I deal with medical challenges, and I've had to consult with people who are called physicians and doctors. And some think that it's their job to tell me what to do. And others, and the ones that I'm particularly interested in seeking out and spending time with, are available to discuss what they know about things and realize that it's my decision how to deal with that information. So I think when we're dealing with children and families, it's appropriate for us to make them aware of different options, but it's critical that we respect their choices. Most of the people who are great in this kind of work of helping others are people who really have something special about how they relate to people and the relationships and bonds that they form. So I know many such people. And the issue here is really not that it doesn't exist for other people, but could they help define it and teach about it so it becomes not a side issue that's sort of just an assumption, but something we can actually talk about and teach and bring forward as an essential part of what we do, not a side act. You've worked with many skilled, experienced, mature, sensitive, brilliant therapists in your own journey in dealing with your own speech challenge. And all of them formed and in all those places, I'm sure you felt a very special connection to these people that extends beyond, you know, just doing, being told to do an exercise. And each person may have done it somewhat differently, but there may be some universals that connect all of those.
Yeah. Yeah. So Phil, I work, as I said before, with just amazing professionals, and I sometimes feel that they need permission to do in their hearts what they want to do, because they're, I don't know exactly where it comes from, but there's so much pressure to focus on something called fluency, to focus on reducing stuttering. So for the supervisor or speech language pathologist out there who is listening to this and they're saying to themselves, this is great, but how does it fit into evidence-based practice? What would you say to them?
Certainly being able to speak more easily is a significant goal of working with people who stutter, but it goes much deeper than that. And not everybody is going to be able to achieve the same level of speaking fluently. So having a set of standards that look like a set of linear numbers can actually be hurtful to people who stutter. And how you set up your priorities about what you're doing, which is freedom of speech is first, feeling good about yourself and able to deal with a challenge, having the strength for that, may come far beyond trying to hide or avoid a moment of stuttering.
I love ending this show, Phil, with your words that freedom of speech comes first. It's why I adore you. It's why so many people who stutter and professionals adore you. So thank you for coming on Stutter Talk today.
Peter, thanks for the opportunity and for allowing me to share and for providing this freedom, this opportunity for the world to talk about things with open honesty. Thanks so much.